My eyes filled with tears. Get out. Pigeon, he said, taking a step toward me. Get out, I said, grabbing the glass from the nightstand and throwing it at him. He ducked and it shattered against the wall in hundreds of tiny, glistening shards. I hate you! Travis heaved as if the air had been knocked out of him, and with a pained expression, left me alone. I yanked off my clothes and pulled the t-shirt on. The noise that burst from my throat surprised me. It had been a long time since I had sobbed uncontrollably. Within moments, America rushed into the room. She crawled into the bed and wrapped her arms around me. She didn't ask questions, or try to console me. She only held me, as I let the tears drench the pillowcase. Chapter 20. Last Dance. Just before the sun breached the horizon, America and I quietly left the apartment behind. We didn't speak on the way to Morgan. I was glad for the silence. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to think. I just wanted to block out the last 12 hours. My body felt heavy and sore, as if I'd been in a car accident. When we walked into my room, I saw that Kara's bed was made. Can I stick around for a while? I need to borrow your flat iron, America asked. Mare, I'm fine. Go to class. You're not fine. I don't want to leave you alone right now. That's all I want to be at the moment. She opened her mouth to argue, but sighed. There would be no changing my mind. I'm coming back to check on you after class. Get some rest. I nodded, locking the door behind her. The bed squeaked beneath me as I fell onto it with a huff. All along, I believed that I was important to Travis, that he needed me. But in that moment, I felt like the shiny new toy Parker said I was. He wanted to prove to Parker that I was still his. His. I'm nobody's, I said to the empty room. As the words sunk in, I was overwhelmed with the grief I'd felt from the night before. I belonged to no one. I'd never felt so alone in my life. Finch set a brown bottle in front of me. Neither of us felt like celebrating, but I was at least comforted by the fact that, according to America, Travis would avoid the date party at all costs. Red and pink craft paper covered empty beer cans hanging from the ceiling, and red dresses in every style walked past. The tables were covered with tiny foil hearts, and Finch rolled his eyes at the ridiculous decorations. Valentine's Day at a frat house. Romantic, he said, watching the couples walk by. Shepley and America had been downstairs dancing from the moment we arrived, and Finch and I protested our presence by pouting in the kitchen. I drank the contents of the bottle quickly, determined to blur the memories of the last date party I'd attended. Finch popped open another cap and handed me another, aware of my desperation to forget. I'll get more, he said, returning to the fridge. The keg is for guests, the bottles are for Sig Tau, a girl sneered beside me. I looked down at the red cup in her hand. Or maybe your boyfriend just told you that because he was counting on a cheap date. She narrowed her eyes and pushed away from the counter, taking her cup elsewhere. Who is that? Finch asked, setting down four more bottles. Random sorority bitch, I said, watching her walk away. By the time Shepley and America rejoined us, six empty bottles sat on the table beside me. My teeth were numb, and it felt a bit easier to smile. I was more comfortable leaning against my spot on the counter. Travis had proven to be a no-show, and I could survive the remainder of the party in peace. Are you guys going to dance or what? America asked. I looked to Finch. Are you going to dance with me, Finch? Are you going to be able to dance? He asked, raising an eyebrow. There's only one way to find out, I said, pulling him downstairs. We bounced and shook until a thin sheen of sweat began to form under my dress. Just when I thought my lungs would burst, a slow song came over the speakers. Finch peered uncomfortably around us, glancing to the people pairing off and getting close. You're going to make me dance to this, aren't you? He asked. It's Valentine's Day, Finch. Pretend I'm a boy. He laughed, pulling me into his arms. It's hard to do that when you're wearing a short pink dress. Whatever. Like you've never seen a boy in a dress. Finch shrugged. True. I giggled, resting my head against his shoulder. The alcohol made my body feel heavy and sluggish as I tried to move to the slow tempo. Mind if I cut in, Finch? Travis stood beside us, half amused, half prepared for my reaction. The blood under my cheeks immediately burst into flames. Finch looked at me and then at Travis.
Sure.
Finch, I hissed as he walked away. Travis pulled me against him, and I tried to keep as much space between us as possible. I thought you weren't coming.
I wasn't, but I knew you were here. I had to come.
I looked around the room, avoiding his eyes. Every movement he made, I was acutely aware of. The pressure changes of his fingers at the points where he touched me, his feet shuffling beside mine, his arms shifting, brushing against my dress. I felt ridiculous pretending not to notice. His eye was healing. The bruise had almost vanished, and the red blotches on his face were absent, as if I had imagined them. All evidence of that horrible night had disappeared, leaving only the stinging memories. He watched my every breath, and when the song was half over, he sighed. You look beautiful, Pidge. Don't.
Don't what? Tell you you're beautiful?
Just don't.
I didn't mean it.
I huffed in frustration.
Thanks.
No, you look beautiful. I meant that. I was talking about what I said in my room. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed pulling you from your date with Parker. It wasn't a date, Travis. We were just eating. He won't speak to me now, thanks to you.
I heard. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
You're right, he said,
stuttering when he saw my impatient expression. But that wasn't the only reason I took you to the fight. I wanted you there with me, Pidge. You're my good luck charm.
I'm not your anything, I snapped, glaring up at him.
His eyebrows pulled in and he stopped dancing.
You're my everything.
I pressed my lips together, trying to keep the anger at the surface, but it was impossible to stay mad at him when he looked at me that way.
You don't really hate me, do you?
He asked. I turned away from him, putting more distance in between us.
Sometimes I wish that I did. It would make everything a whole hell of a lot easier.
A cautious smile spread across his lips in a thin, subtle line.
So what pisses you off more? What I did to make you want to hate me? Or knowing that you can't?
The anger returned. I shoved past him, running up the stairs to the kitchen. My eyes were beginning to gloss over, but I refused to be a sobbing mess at the date party. Finch stood beside the table and I sighed with relief when he handed me another beer. For the next hour, I watched Travis fend off girls and suck down shots of whiskey in the living room. Each time he caught my eye, I looked away from him, determined to get through the night without a scene.
You two look miserable, Shepley said.
They couldn't look more bored if they were doing it on purpose, America grumbled.
Don't forget, we didn't want to come, Finch reminded them.
America made her famous face that I was just as famous for giving in to.
You could pretend, Abby, for me.
Just when I opened my mouth for a sharp retort, Finch touched my arm.
I think we've done our duty.
You ready to go, Abby? I drank the remainder of my beer in a quick swig and then took Finch's hand. As anxious as I was to leave, my legs froze. When the same song that Travis and I danced to at my birthday party floated up the stairs, I grabbed Finch's bottle and took another swig, trying to block out the memories that came with the music. Brad leaned against the counter beside me.
Want to dance?
I smiled at him, shaking my head. He began to say something else, but he was interrupted.
Dance with me.
Travis stood a few feet from me, his hand outstretched to mine. America, Shepley, and Finch were all staring at me, waiting for my answer as anxiously as Travis.
Leave me alone, Travis, I said, crossing my arms. This is our song, Pidge. We don't have a song.
Pigeon.
No.
I looked to Brad and forced a smile.
I would love to dance, Brad.
Brad's freckles stretched across his cheeks as he smiled, gesturing for me to lead the way to the stairs. Travis staggered backward, the hurt plainly displayed in his eyes.
A toast! He yelled.
I flinched, turning just in time to see him climbing onto a chair, stealing a beer from the shocked Sig Tau brother closest to him. I glanced to America, who watched Travis with a pained expression.
To douchebags, he said, gesturing to Brad. And to girls that break your heart!
He bowed his head to me. His eyes lost focus.
And to the absolute fucking horror of losing your best friend because you were stupid enough to fall in love with her.
He tilted back the beer, finishing what was left, and then tossed it to the floor. The room was silent, except for the music playing in the lower level, and everyone stared at Travis in mass confusion. Mortified, I grabbed Brad's hand and led him downstairs to the dance floor. A few couples followed behind us, watching me closely for tears or some other response to Travis's tirade. I smoothed my features, refusing to give them what they wanted. We danced a few stiff steps, and Brad sighed.
That was kind of weird. Welcome to my life.
Travis pushed his way through the couples on the dance floor, stopping beside me. It took him a moment to steady his feet.
I'm cutting in.
No, you're not! Jesus! I said, refusing to look at him. After a few tense moments, I glanced up, seeing Travis's eyes boring into Brad's.
If you don't back away from my girl, I'll rip out your fucking throat, right here on the dance floor.
Brad seemed conflicted, his eyes nervously darting from me to Travis. Sorry, Abby, he said, slowly pulling his arms away. He retreated to the stairs and I stood alone, humiliated.
How I feel about you right now, Travis? It very closely resembles hate.
Dance with me,
he pleaded, swaying to keep his balance. The song ended and I sighed with relief.
Go drink another bottle of whiskey, Trav.
I turned to dance with the only single guy on the dance floor. The tempo was faster, and I smiled at my new surprised dance partner, trying to ignore the fact that Travis was just a few feet behind me. Another Sig Tau brother danced behind me, grabbing my hips. I reached back, pulling him closer. It reminded me of the way Travis and Megan danced that night at the Red, and I did my best to recreate the scene I had wished on many occasions that I could forget. Two pairs of hands were on nearly every part of my body, and it was easy to ignore my more reserved side with the amount of alcohol in my system. Suddenly, I was airborne. Travis threw me over his shoulder, at the same time shoving one of his frat brothers hard, knocking him to the floor.
Put me down, I said, pounding my fists into his back. I'm not going to let you embarrass yourself over me, he growled, taking the stairs two at a time.
Every pair of eyes we passed watched me kick and scream as Travis carried me across the room.
You don't think, I said as I struggled, this is embarrassing? Travis! Chubley, is Donnie outside?
Travis said, ducking from my flailing limbs.
Yeah, he said.
Put her down, America said, taking a step toward us.
America, I said, squirming. Don't just stand there. Help me.
Her mouth turned up and she laughed once.
You two look ridiculous.
My eyebrows turned in at her words, both shocked and angry that she found any part of the situation funny. Travis headed for the door and I glared at her.
Thanks a lot, friend.
The cold air struck the bare parts of my skin and I protested louder.
Put me down, damn it!
Travis opened a car door and tossed me into the back seat, sliding in beside me.
Donnie, you're the DJ tonight?
Yeah,
he said, nervously watching me struggle to escape.
I need you to take us to my apartment.
Travis, I don't think...
Travis's voice was controlled but frightening.
Do it, Donnie, or I'll shove my fist through the back of your head, I swear to God.
Donnie pulled away from the curb, and I lunged for the door handle.
I'm not going to your apartment!
Travis grabbed one of my wrists, and then the other. I leaned down to bite his arm. He closed his eyes, and then a low grunt escaped through his clenched jaw as my teeth sunk into his flesh.
Do your worst, Pidge. I'm tired of your shit.
I released his skin and jerked my arms, struggling against his grip.
My shit? Let me out of this fucking car!
He pulled my wrists close to his face.
I love you, damn it. You're not going anywhere until you sober up and we figure this out. You're the only one that hasn't figured it out, Travis, I said.
He released my wrists, and I crossed my arms, pouting the rest of the way to the apartment. When the car slowed to a stop, I leaned forward.
Can you take me home, Donnie?
Travis pulled me out of the car by the arm, and then he swung me over his shoulder again, carrying me up the stairs.
Night, Donnie. I'm calling your dad,
I cried. Travis laughed out loud.
And he'd probably pat me on the shoulder and tell me that it's about damn time.
He struggled to unlock the door as I kicked and waved my arms, trying to get away.
Knock it off, Pidge, or we're going to fall down the stairs.
Once he opened the door, he stomped into Shepley's room.
Put me down, I screamed.
Fine, he said, dropping me onto Shepley's bed.
Sleep it off. We'll talk in the morning.
The room was dark, the only light a rectangular beam shooting into the doorway from the hall. I fought to focus through the darkness, beer, and anger, and when he turned into the light, it illuminated his smug smile. I pounded the mattress with my fists.
You can't tell me what to do anymore, Travis! I don't belong to you!
In the second it took him to turn and face me, his expression had contorted into anger. He stomped toward me, planting his hands on the bed and leaning into my face.
Well, I belong to you!
The veins in his neck bulged as he shouted, and I met his glare, refusing to even flinch. He looked at my lips, panting.
I belong to you,
he whispered, his anger melting as he realized how close we were. Before I could think of a reason not to, I grabbed his face, slamming my lips against his. Without hesitation, Travis lifted me into his arms. In a few long strides, he carried me into his bedroom, both of us crashing to the bed. I yanked his shirt over his head, fumbling in the dark with his belt buckle. He jerked it open, ripped it off, and threw it to the floor. He lifted me from the mattress with one hand and unzipped my dress with the other. I pulled it over my head, tossing it somewhere in the dark. And then Travis kissed me, moaning against my mouth. With just a few quick movements, his boxers were off, and he pressed his chest against mine. I grabbed his backside, but he resisted when I tried to pull him into me.
We're both drunk, he said, breathing hard.
Please. I pressed my legs against his hips, desperate to relieve the burning between my thighs. Travis was set on us getting back together, and I had no intentions of fighting the inevitable, so I was more than ready to spend the night tangled up in his sheets.
This isn't right, he said.
He was just above me, pressing his forehead against mine. I hoped that it was just half-hearted protesting, and that I could persuade him somehow that he was wrong. The way we couldn't seem to stay away from each other was unexplainable, but I didn't need an explanation anymore. I didn't even need an excuse. In that moment, I only needed him.
I want you.
I need you to say it, he said.
My insides were screaming for him, and I couldn't stand it a second longer.
I'll say whatever you want.
Then say that you belong to me. Say that you'll take me back. I won't do this unless we're together.
We've never really been apart, have we? I asked, hoping it was enough. He shook his head, his lips sweeping across mine.
I need to hear you say it. I need to know you're mine.
I've been yours since the second we met.
My voice took the tone of begging. Any other time I would have been embarrassed, but I was beyond regret. I had fought my feelings, guarded them, and bottled them up. I had experienced the happiest moments of my life while at Eastern, all of them with Travis. Fighting, laughing, loving, or crying. If it was with him, I was where I wanted to be. One side of his mouth turned up as he touched my face, and then his lips touched mine in a tender kiss. When I pulled him against me, he didn't resist. His muscles tensed, and he held his breath as he slid inside me.
Say it again, he said.
I'm yours, I breathed.
Every nerve, inside and out, ached for more.
I don't ever want to be apart from you again.
Promise me,
he said, groaning with another thrust.
I love you. I'll love you forever.
The words were more of a sigh, but I met his eyes when I said them. I could see the uncertainty in his eyes vanish, and even in the dim light, his face brightened. Finally satisfied, he sealed his mouth over mine. Travis woke me with kisses. My head felt heavy and fogged from the multiple drinks I'd had the night before, but the hour before I fell asleep replayed in my mind in vivid detail. Soft lips showered every inch of my hand, arm, and neck, and when he reached my lips, I smiled.
Good morning,
I said against his mouth. He didn't speak. His lips continued working against mine. His solid arms enveloped me, and then he buried his face in my neck.
You're quiet this morning,
I said, running my hands over the bare skin of his back. I let them continue down his backside, and then I hooked my leg over his hip, kissing his cheek. He shook his head.
I just want to be like this,
he whispered. I frowned.
Did I miss something?
I didn't mean to wake you up. Why don't you just go back to sleep?
I leaned back against the pillow, pulling up his chin. His eyes were bloodshot, the skin around them blotchy and red.
What in the hell is wrong with you?
I asked, alarmed. He put one of my hands in his and kissed it, pressing his forehead against my neck.
Just go back to sleep, Pigeon. Please?
Did something happen?
Is it America? With the last question, I sat up. Even seeing the fear in my eyes, his expression didn't change. He simply sighed and sat up with me, looking at my hand in his. No. America's fine. They got home around 4 this morning. They're still in bed. It's early. Let's just go back to sleep. Feeling my heart pounding against my chest, I knew there was no chance of falling back asleep. Travis put both hands on each side of my face and kissed me. His mouth moved differently, as if he were kissing me for the last time. He lowered me to the pillow, kissed me once more, and then rested his head on my chest, wrapping both arms tightly around me. Every possible reason for Travis's behavior flipped through my mind like television channels. I hugged him to me, afraid to ask. Have you slept?
I couldn't. I didn't wanna.
His voice trailed off. I kissed his forehead.
Whatever it is, we'll get through it, okay? Why don't you get some sleep? We'll figure it out when you wake up.
His head popped up and he scanned my face. I saw both mistrust and hope in his eyes.
What do you mean, that we'll get through it?
My eyebrows pulled in, confused. I couldn't imagine what had happened while I was sleeping that would cause him such anguish.
I don't know what's going on, but I'm here.
You're here? As in you're staying? With me? I knew that my expression must have been ridiculous, but my head was spinning from both the alcohol and Travis's bizarre questions.
Yes, I thought we discussed this last night.
We did. He nodded, encouraged. I searched the room with my eyes, thinking. His walls were no longer bare as they were when we had first met. They were now peppered with trinkets from places that we'd spent time together, and the white paint was interrupted by black frames holding pictures of me, us, Toto, and our group of friends. A larger frame of the two of us at my birthday party replaced the sombrero that once hung by a nail above his headboard. I narrowed my eyes at him.
You thought I was going to wake up pissed at you, didn't you? You thought I was going to leave.
He shrugged, making a poor attempt at the indifference that used to come so easily to him.
That is what you're famous for.
Is that what you're so upset about? You stayed up all night worrying about what would happen when I woke up?
He shifted as if his next words would be difficult.
I didn't mean for last night to happen like that. I was a little drunk, and I followed you around the party like some fucking stalker. And then I dragged you out of there, against your will, and then we...
He shook his head, clearly disgusted with the memories playing in his mind.
Had the best sex of my life?
I smiled, squeezing his hand. Travis laughed once, the tension around his eyes slowly melting away.
So, we're okay?
I kissed him, touching the sides of his face with tenderness.
Yes, dummy. I promised, didn't I? I told you everything you wanted to hear. We're back together and you're still not happy?
His face compressed around his smile.
Travis, stop. I love you,
I said, smoothing the worried lines around his eyes.
This absurd standoff could have been over at Thanksgiving, but...
Wait, what? He interrupted, leaning back.
I was fully prepared to give in on Thanksgiving, but you said you were done trying to make me happy, and I was too proud to tell you that I wanted you back.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I was just trying to make it easier on you. Do you know how miserable I've been?
I frowned.
You looked just fine after break.
That was for you. I was afraid I'd lose you if I didn't pretend to be okay with being friends. I could have been with you this whole time. What the fuck, Pigeon?
I couldn't argue. He was right. I had made us both suffer, and I had no excuse. I'm sorry.
You're sorry? I damn near drank myself to death. I could barely get out of bed. I shattered my phone into a million pieces on New Year's Eve to keep from calling you. And you're sorry?
I bit my lip and nodded, ashamed. I had no idea what he'd been through, and hearing him say the words made a sharp pain twist inside my chest. I'm so, so sorry.
You're forgiven, he said with a grin. Don't ever do it again.
I won't. I promise.
He flashed his dimple and shook his head.
I fucking love you.
Chapter 21. Smoke. The weeks passed, and it was a surprise to me how quickly spring break was upon us. The expected stream of gossip and stares had vanished, and life had returned to normal. The basements of Eastern U hadn't held a fight in weeks. Adam made a point of keeping a low profile after the arrests had led to questions about what exactly had gone on that night, and Travis grew irritable waiting for a phone call to summon him to his last fight of the year, the fight that would pay most of his bills for the summer and well into the fall. The snow was still thick on the ground, and on the Friday before break, one last snowball fight broke out on the crystalline lawn. Travis and I weaved through the flying ice to the cafeteria, and I held tight to his arm, trying to avoid both the snowballs and falling to the ground.
"They're not going to hit you, Pidge. They know better," Travis said, holding his red, cold nose to my cheek.
"Their aim isn't synonymous with their fear of your temper, Trav." He held me against his side, rubbing my coat sleeve with his hand as he guided me through the chaos. We came to an abrupt halt when a handful of girls screamed past as they were pelted by the merciless aim of the baseball team. Once they cleared the path, Travis led me safely to the door.
"See? I told you we'd make it," he said with a smile.
His amusement faded when a tightly packed snowball exploded against the door, just between our faces. Travis's glare scanned the lawn, but the sheer numbers of students darting in every direction doused his urge to retaliate. He pulled open the door, watching the melting snow slide down the painted metal to the ground.
"Let's get inside."
"Good idea," I nodded. He led me by the hand down the buffet line, piling different steaming dishes on one tray. The cashier had given up her predictable, baffled expression weeks before, used to our routine.
"Abby," Brazil nodded to me and then winked at Travis. "You guys have plans next week?"
"We're staying here. My brothers are coming in," Travis said, distracted as he organized our lunches, dividing the small styrofoam plates in front of us on the table.
"I'm going to kill David Lipinski,"
America announced, shaking snow out of her hair as she approached.
"Direct hit," Shepley laughed.
America shot him a warning glare, and his laugh turned into a nervous chuckle.
"I mean, what an asshole."
He laughed at his regretful expression as he watched her stomp to the buffet line, following quickly after.
"He's so whipped," Brazil said with a disgusted look on his face.
"America's a little uptight," Travis explained. "She's meeting his parents this week."
Brazil nodded, his eyebrows shooting up.
"So there."
"There," I said, nodding with him. "It's permanent."
"Whoa,"
Brazil said. The shock didn't leave his face as he picked at his food, and I could see the confusion swirl around him. We were all young, and Brazil couldn't wrap his head around Shepley's commitment.
"When you have it, Brazil,
you'll get it," Travis said, smiling at me. The room was abuzz with excitement, from both the spectacle outside and the quickly approaching last hours before break. As the seats filled, the steady stream of chatter grew to a loud echo, the volume rising as everyone began talking over the noise. By the time Shepley and America returned with their trays, they had made up. She happily sat in the empty seat next to me, prattling on about her impending meet the parents moment. They would leave that evening for his parents' house. It was the perfect excuse for one of America's infamous meltdowns. I watched her pick at her bread as she fretted about what to pack and how much luggage she could take without appearing pretentious, but she seemed to be holding it together.
"I told you, baby, they're gonna love you. Love you like I love you, love you,"
Shepley said, tucking her hair behind her ear. America took a breath, and the corners of her mouth turned up in the way they always did when he made her feel more at ease. Travis's phone shivered, causing it to glide a few inches across the table. He ignored it, regaling Brazil with our first game of poker with his brothers. I glanced at the display, tapping Travis on the shoulder when I read the name. "Trav?" Without apology, he turned away from Brazil and gave me his undivided attention.
"Yeah, Pigeon?
You might want to get that." He looked down at his cell phone and sighed. "Or not. It could be important." He pursed his lips before holding the receiver to his ear.
"What's up, Adam?"
His eyes searched the room as he listened, nodding occasionally.
"This is my last fight, Adam. I'm not sure yet. I won't go without her, and Shep's leaving town.
I know. I heard you."
That's not a bad idea, actually."
My eyebrows pulled in, seeing his eyes brighten with whatever idea Adam had enlightened him with. When Travis hung up the phone, I stared at him expectantly.
"It's enough to pay rent for the next 8 months. Adam got John Savage. He's trying to go pro."
"I haven't seen him fight, have you?" Shepley asked, leaning forward.
Travis nodded. Just once in Springfield. He's good.
Not good enough, I said. Travis leaned in and kissed my forehead with soft appreciation.
I can stay home, Trav.
No, he said, shaking his head.
I don't want you to get hit like you did last time because you're worried about me.
No, Pidge.
I'll wait up for you, I said, trying to seem happier with the idea than I felt.
I'm going to ask Trent to come. He's the only one I'd trust, so I can concentrate on the fight.
Thanks a lot, asshole, Shepley grumbled.
Hey, you had your chance, Travis said, only half-teasing.
Shepley's mouth pulled to the side with chagrin. He still felt at fault for the night at Hellerton. He apologized to me daily for weeks, but his guilt finally became manageable enough for him to suffer in silence. America and I tried to convince him that he wasn't to blame, but Travis would always hold him accountable.
Shepley, it wasn't your fault. You pulled him off of me, remember? I said, reaching around America to pat his arm.
I turned to Travis. When is the fight?
Next week sometime, he shrugged.
I want you there. I need you there.
I smiled, resting my chin on his shoulder.
Then I'll be there.
Travis walked me to class, his grip tensing a few times when my feet slipped on the ice.
You should be more careful, he teased.
I'm doing it on purpose. You're such a sucker.
If you want my arms around you, all you have to do is ask, he said, pulling me into his chest.
We were oblivious to the students passing and the snowballs flying overhead as he pressed his lips against mine. My feet left the ground, and he continued to kiss me, carrying me with ease across campus. When he finally set me on my feet in front of the door of my classroom, he shook his head.
When we make our schedules for next semester, it would be more convenient if we had more classes together.
I'll work on that, I said, giving him one last kiss before making my way to my seat. I looked up, and Travis gave me one last smile before making his way to his class in the next building. The students around me were as used to our shameless displays of affection as his class was used to him being a few minutes late. I was surprised that the time ticked by so quickly. I turned in my last test of the day and made my way to Morgan Hall. Kara sat in her usual spot on her bed as I rifled through my drawers for a few needed items.
You going out of town? Kara asked.
No, I just needed a few things. I'm headed over to the science building to pick up Trav, and then I'll be at the apartment all week.
I figured, she said, keeping her eyes on the pages of her book.
Have a good break, Kara.
Mm-hmm.
The campus was nearly empty, with only a few stragglers left. When I turned the corner, I saw Travis standing outside finishing a cigarette. He wore a knit cap over his shaved head, and one hand was shoved in the pocket of his worn dark brown leather jacket. Smoke drifted from his nostrils as he looked down to the ground, deep in thought. It wasn't until I was just a few feet from him that I noticed how distracted he was.
What's on your mind, baby?
I asked. He didn't look up.
Travis?
His lashes fluttered when my voice registered, and the troubled expression was replaced with a contrived smile.
Hey, Pigeon. Everything okay?
It is now, he said, pulling me against him.
Okay, what's up?
I said. With a raised eyebrow and a frown, I made a show of my skepticism.
Just have a lot on my mind, he sighed.
When I waited expectantly, he continued.
This week, the fight, you being there.
I told you I would stay home.
I need you there, Pidge, he said, flicking his cigarette to the ground.
He watched it disappear into a deep footprint in the snow and then cupped his hand around mine, pulling me toward the parking lot.
Have you talked to Trent? I asked.
He shook his head. I'm waiting for him to call me back. America rolled down the window and poked her head out of Shepley's charger.
Hurry up, it's freaking freezing!
Travis smiled and picked up the pace, opening the door for me to slide in. Shepley and America repeated the same conversation they'd had since she learned she would be meeting his parents, while I watched Travis stare out of the window. Just as we pulled into the parking lot of the apartment, Travis's phone rang.
What the fuck, Trent? He answered.
I called you 4 hours ago. It's not like you're productive at work or anything.
Whatever. Listen, I need a favor. I've got a fight next week. I need you to go. I don't know when it is, but when I call you, I need you there within an hour. Can you do that for me? Can you do it or not, douchebag? Because I need you to keep an eye on Pigeon. Some asshole put his hands on her last time and...
Yeah.
His voice lowered to a frightening tone.
I took care of it. So if I call...
Thanks, Trent. Travis clicked his phone shut, and leaned his head against the back of the seat.
Relieved? Shepley asked, watching Travis in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it without him there.
I told you, I began.
Pidge, how many times do I have to say it?
He frowned. I shook my head at his impatient tone.
I don't understand it, though. You didn't need me there before.
His fingers lightly grazed my cheek.
I didn't know you before. When you're not there, I can't concentrate. I'm wondering where you are, what you're doing. If you're there and I can see you, I can focus. I know it's crazy, but that's how it is.
And crazy is exactly the way I like it, I said, leaning up to kiss his lips.
Obviously, America muttered under her breath.
In the shadows of Keaton Hall, Travis held me tight against his side. The steam from my breath entangled with his in the cold night air, and I could hear the low conversations of those filtering in a side door a few feet away, oblivious to our presence. Keaton was the oldest building at Eastern, and although the circle had been held there before, I was uneasy about the venue. Adam expected a full house, and Keaton wasn't the most spacious of basements on campus. Beams formed a grid along the aging brick walls, just one sign of the renovations taking place inside.
This is one of the worst ideas Adam has had yet, Travis grumbled.
It's too late to change it now, I said, looking up at the scaffolds. Travis's cell phone lit up and he popped it open. His face was tinged with blue against the display, and I could finally see the two worry lines between his eyebrows I already knew were there. He clicked buttons and then snapped the phone shut, gripping me tighter.
You seem nervous tonight, I whispered.
I'll feel better when Trent gets his punk ass here. I'm here, you whiny little girl, Trent said in a hushed voice. I could barely see his outline in the darkness, but his smile gleamed in the moonlight. How you been, sis? He said. He hugged me with one arm, and then playfully shoved Travis with the other.
I'm good, Trent. Travis immediately relaxed, and then he led me by the hand to the back of the building.
If the cops show and we get separated, meet me at Morgan Hall, okay? Travis said to his brother.
We stopped at an open window low to the ground, the signal that Adam was inside and waiting.
You're fucking with me, Trent said, staring down at the window. Abby's barely gonna fit through there.
You'll fit, Travis assured him, crawling down into the blackness inside. Like so many times before, I leaned down and pushed myself backwards, knowing Travis would catch me. We waited for a few moments, and then Trent grunted as he pushed off the ledge and landed on the floor, nearly losing his balance as his feet hit the concrete.
You're lucky I love Abby. I wouldn't do this shit for just anyone, Trent grumbled, brushing off his shirt.
Travis jumped up, pulling the window closed with one quick movement.
This way, he said, leading us through the dark.
Hallway after hallway, I gripped Travis's hand in mine, feeling Trent pinching the fabric of my shirt. I could hear small pieces of gravel scrape the concrete as I shuffled along the floor. I felt my eyes widen, trying to adjust to the blackness of the basement, but there was no light to help them focus. Trent sighed after the third turn.
We're never gonna find our way out of here.
Just follow me out, it'll be fine, Travis said, irritated with Trent's complaining.
When the hallway grew lighter, I knew we were close. When the low roar of the crowd came to a feverish pitch of numbers and names, I knew we had arrived. The room where Travis waited to be called usually had only one lantern and one chair, but with the renovations it was full of desks and chairs and random equipment covered in white sheets. Travis and Trent discussed strategy for the fight as I peeked outside. It was as packed and chaotic as the last fight, but with less room. Furniture covered in dusty sheets lined the edges of the walls, pushed aside to make room for the spectators. The room was darker than usual, and I guessed that Adam wanted to be careful not to draw attention to our whereabouts. Lanterns hung from the ceilings, creating a dingy glow on the cash being held high as bets were still being called.
Pigeon, did you hear me? Travis said, touching my arm.
What?
I said, blinking. I want you to stand by this doorway, okay? Keep hold of Trent's arm at all times.
I won't move, I promise.
Travis smiled, his perfect dimple sinking into his cheek.
Now you look nervous.
I glanced to the doorway and then back to him.
I don't have a good feeling about this, Trav. Not about the fight, but something. This place gives me the creeps.
We won't be here long, Travis assured me.
Adam's voice came over the horn,
and then a pair of warm, familiar hands were on each side of my face.
I love you, he said.
He wrapped his arms around me and lifted me off the floor, squeezing me to him as he kissed me. He lowered me to the ground and then hooked my arm around Trent's.
Don't take your eyes off of her, he said to his brother, even for a second. This place will get crazy once the fight starts.
So, let's welcome tonight's contender, John Savage!
I'll guard her with my life, little brother, Trent said, tugging on my arm. Now go kick this guy's ass and let's get out of here.
Travis Mad Dog Maddox!
Adam yelled through the horn. The volume was deafening as Travis made his way through the crowd. I looked up to Trent, who had the tiniest crook of a smile on his face. Anyone else might not have noticed, but I could see the pride in his eyes. When Travis reached the center of the circle, I swallowed. John wasn't much bigger, but he looked different than anyone Travis had fought before, including the man he fought in Vegas. He wasn't trying to intimidate Travis with a severe stare like the others. He was studying him, preparing the fight in his mind. As analytical as his eyes were, they were also absent of reason. I knew before the fight began that Travis had more than a fight on his hands. He was standing in front of a demon. Travis seemed to notice the difference as well. His usual smirk was gone, an intense stare in its place. When the horn sounded, John attacked.
Jesus, I said, gripping Trent's arm.
Trent moved as Travis did, as if they were one. I tensed with each swing John threw, fighting the urge to shut my eyes. There were no wasted movements. John was cunning and precise. All of Travis's other fights seemed sloppy in comparison. The raw strength behind the punches alone was awe-inspiring, as if the whole thing had been choreographed and practiced to perfection. The air in the room was heavy and stagnant. The dust from the sheets had been disturbed and caught in my throat each time I gasped. The longer the fight lasted, the worse the ominous feeling became. I couldn't shake it, and yet I forced myself to stay in place so Travis could concentrate. In one moment, I was hypnotized by the spectacle in the middle of the basement. In the next, I was shoved from behind. My head jerked back with the blow, but I tightened my grip, refusing to budge from my promised spot. Trent turned and grabbed the shirts of two men behind us and tossed them to the ground as though they were rag dolls.
Back the fuck up or I'll kill you,
he yelled to those staring at the fallen men. I gripped his arm tighter and he patted my hand. I got you, Abby. Just watch the fight. Travis was doing well, and I sighed when he drew first blood. The crowd grew louder, but Trent's warning kept those around us at a safe distance. Travis landed a solid punch and then glanced at me, quickly returning his attention to John. His movements were lithe, almost calculating, seeming to predict John's attacks before he made them. Noticeably impatient, John wrapped his arms around Travis, pulling him to the ground. As one unit, the crowd surrounding the makeshift ring tightened around them, leaning in as the action fell to the floor.
I can't see him, Trent! I cried as I bounced on my tiptoes.
Trent looked around, finding Adam's wooden chair. In a dance-like motion, he passed me from one arm to the other, helping me as I climbed above the mob.
Can you see him?
Yeah,
I said, holding Trent's arm for balance.
He's on top, but John's legs are around his neck.
Trent leaned forward on his toes, cupping his free hand around his mouth.
Slam his ass, Travis!
I glanced down to Trent, and then leaned forward to get a better look at the men on the floor. Suddenly, Travis was on his feet, John holding tight around Travis's neck with his legs. Travis fell on his knees, slamming John's back and head against the concrete in a devastating blow. John's legs went limp, releasing Travis's neck, and then Travis reared back his elbow, pummeling John over and over with his clenched fist until Adam pulled him away, throwing the red square on John's flaccid body. The room erupted, cheering as Adam lifted Travis's hand into the air. Trent hugged my legs, calling out victory to his brother. Travis looked up at me with a broad, bloody smile. His right eye had already begun to swell. As the money passed hands, and the crowd began to meander about, preparing to leave, my eyes drifted to a wildly flickering lantern, swaying back and forth in the corner of the room behind Travis. Liquid was dripping from its base, soaking the sheet below it. My stomach sank. Trent? Catching his attention, I pointed to the corner. In that moment, the lantern fell from its clip, crashing into the sheet below, immediately bursting into flames.
Holy shit! Trent said, gripping my legs.
A few men around the fire jumped back, watching in awe as the flames crawled to the adjacent sheet. Black smoke bellowed from the corner, and in unison, every person in the room flew into a panic, pushing their way to the exits. My eyes met Travis's. A look of absolute terror distorted his face.
Abby!
He screamed, pushing at the sea of people between us.
Come on!
Trent yelled, pulling me from the chair to his side. The room darkened, and a loud popping noise sounded from another side of the room. The other lanterns were igniting and adding to the fire in small explosions. Trent grabbed my arm, pulling me behind him as he tried to force his way through the crowd.
We can't get out that way! We'll have to go back the way we came!
I cried, resisting. Trent looked around, forming a plan of escape in the center of the confusion. I looked to Travis again, watching as he tried to make his way across the room. As the crowd surged, Travis was pushed farther away. The excited cheering from before was now horrified shrieks of fear and desperation as everyone fought to reach the exits. Trent pulled me to the doorway and I looked back.
Travis!
I yelled, reaching out for him. He was coughing, waving the smoke away.
This way, Trav! Trent called to him. Just get her out of here, Trent! Get Pigeon out!
He said, coughing. Conflicted, Trent looked down to me. I could see the fear in his eyes.
I don't know the way out.
I looked to Travis once more, his form flickering behind the flames that had spread between us.
Travis! Just go! I'll catch up to you outside!
His voice was drowned out by the chaos around us, and I gripped Trent's sleeve.
This way, Trent!
I said, feeling the tears and smoke burn my eyes. Dozens of panicked people were between Travis and his only escape. I tugged on Trent's hand, shoving anyone in my path. We reached the doorway, and then I looked back and forth. Two dark hallways were dimly lit by the fire behind us.
This way, I said, pulling on his hand again. You sure?
Trent asked, his voice thick with doubt and fear.
Come on,
I said, tugging on him again. The farther we ran, the darker the rooms became. After a few moments, my breaths were easier as we left the smoke behind, but the screams didn't subside. They were louder and more frantic than before. The horrific sounds behind us fueled my determination, keeping my steps quick and purposeful. By the second turn, we were walking blindly through the darkness. I held my hand in front of me, feeling along the wall, gripping Trent's hand with the other.
Do you think he got out?
Trent asked. His question undermined my focus, and I tried to push the answer from my mind.
Keep moving!
I choked out. Trent resisted for a moment, but when I tugged on him again, a light flickered. He held up a lighter, squinting into the small space for the way out. I followed the light as he waved it around the room and gasped when a doorway came into view.
This way,
I said, tugging on him again. As I rushed through to the next room, a wall of people crashed into me, throwing me to the ground. Three women and two men, all with dirty faces and wide, frightened eyes, looked down at me. One of the boys reached down to help me up.
There's some windows down here we can get out of, he said.
We just came from that way. There's nothing down there, I said, shaking my head.
You must have missed it. I know they're this way.
Trent tugged on my hand.
Come on, Abby. They know the way out.
I shook my head.
We came in this way with Travis. I know it.
He tightened his grip.
I told Travis I wouldn't let you out of my sight. We're going with them.
Trent, we've been down that way. There were no windows.
Let's go, Jason,
a girl cried.
We're going,
Jason said, looking to Trent. Trent tugged on my hand again and I pulled away.
Trent, please, it's this way, I promise.
I'm going with them, he said.
Please come with me.
I shook my head, tears flowing down my cheeks.
I've been here before. That's not the way out.
You're coming with me, he yelled, pulling on my arm.
Trent, stop, we're going the wrong way,
I cried. My feet slid across the concrete as he pulled me along, and when the smell of smoke grew stronger, I yanked away, running in the opposite direction.
Abby! Abby!
Trent called. I kept running, holding my hands out in front of me, anticipating a wall.
Come on, she's gonna get you killed,
a girl said. My shoulder crashed into a corner and I spun around, falling to the ground. I crawled along the floor, holding my trembling hand in front of me. When my fingers touched sheetrock, I followed it up. Rising to my feet, the corner of a doorway materialized under my touch, and I followed it into the next room. The darkness was endless, but I willed away the panic, carefully keeping my footsteps straight, reaching out for the next wall. Several minutes passed by, and I felt the fear well up inside me as the wails from behind rung in my ears.
Please,
I whispered in the blackness. Let this be the way out. I felt another corner of a doorway, and when I made my way through, a silver stream of light glowed before me. Moonlight filtered through the glass of the window, and a sob forced its way from my throat. Trent! It's here! I called behind me. Trent! I squinted, seeing a tiny bit of movement in the distance. Trent! I called out, my heart beat fluttering wildly in my chest. Within moments, shadows danced against the walls, and my eyes widened with horror when I realized what I thought were people was actually the flickering light of approaching flames. Oh my God, I said, looking up at the window. Travis had closed it behind us, and it was too high for me to reach. I looked around for something to stand on. The room was lined with wooden furniture covered in white sheets, the same sheets that would feed the fire until the room turned into an inferno. I grabbed a piece of white cloth, yanking it from a desk. Dust clouded around me as I threw the sheet to the ground and lugged the bulky wood across the room to the space beneath the window. I shoved it next to the wall and climbed up, coughing from the smoke that slowly seeped into the room. The window was still a few feet above me. I grunted as I tried to shove it open, clumsily twisting the lock back and forth between each push. It wouldn't budge. Come on, damn it! I yelled, leaning into my arms. I leaned back, using my body weight with the little momentum I could manage to force it open. When that didn't work, I slid my nails under the edges, pulling until I thought my nails had pulled away from the skin. Light flashed from the corner of my eye, and I cried out when I saw the fire barreling down the white sheets lining the hallway I had traveled just moments before. I looked up at the window, once again digging my nails into the edges. Blood dripped from my fingertips, the metal edges sinking into my flesh. Instinct overcame all other senses, and my hands balled into fists, ramming into the glass. A small crack splintered across the pane, along with my blood smearing and spattering with each blow. I hammered the glass once more with my fist, and then pulled off my shoe, slamming it with full force. Sirens wailed in the distance, and I sobbed, beating my palms against the window. The rest of my life was just a few inches away, on the other side of the glass. I clawed at the edges once more, and then began slapping the glass with both palms. Help me! I screamed, seeing the flames draw nearer. Somebody help me! A faint cough sputtered behind me. Pigeon? I flipped around to the familiar voice. Travis appeared in a doorway behind me, his face and clothes covered in soot. Travis! I cried. I scrambled off the desk and ran across the floor to where he stood, exhausted and filthy. I slammed into him, and he wrapped his arms around me, coughing as he gasped for air. His hands grabbed my cheeks. Where's Trent? He said, his voice raspy and weak. He followed them, I bawled, tears streaming down my face. I tried to get him to come with me, but he wouldn't come. Travis looked down at the approaching fire, and his eyebrows pulled in. I sucked in a breath, coughing when smoke filled my lungs. He looked down at me, his eyes filling with tears. I'm gonna get us out of here, Pidge. His lips pressed against mine in one quick, firm movement, and then he climbed on top of my makeshift ladder. He pushed at the window, and then twisted the lock, the muscles of his arms quivering as he used all of his strength against the glass. Get back, Abby! I'm gonna break the glass! Afraid to move, I could only take one step away from our only way out. Travis's elbow bent as he reared back his fist, yelling as he rammed it into the window. I turned away, shielding my face with my bloody hands as the glass shattered above me. Come on! He yelled, holding his hand out to me. The heat from the fire took over the room, and I soared into the air as he lifted me from the ground and pushed me outside. I waited on my knees as Travis climbed out, and then helped him to his feet. The sirens were blaring from the other side of the building, and red and blue lights from fire engines and police cruisers danced across the brick on the adjacent buildings. We ran to the crowd of people standing in front of the building, scanning the dirty faces for Trent. Travis yelled his brother's name, his voice becoming more and more hopeless with each call. He pulled out his cell phone to check for a missed call, and then slammed it shut, covering his mouth with his blackened hand. Trent! Travis screamed, stretching his neck as he searched the crowd. Those that had escaped were hugging and whimpering behind the emergency vehicles, watching in horror as the pumper truck shot water through the windows and firefighters ran inside pulling hoses behind them. Travis ran his hand over the stubble on his scalp, shaking his head. He didn't get out, he whispered. He didn't get out, Pidge.
My breath caught as I watched the soot on his cheeks streak with tears. He fell to his knees and I fell with him. Trent's smart, Trav. He got out. He had to have found a different way, I said, trying to convince myself as well. Travis collapsed into my lap, gripping my shirt with both fists. I held him. I didn't know what else to do. An hour passed. The cries and wailing from the survivors and spectators outside the building had grown to an eerie quiet. We watched, with waning hope, as the firefighters brought out two people, and then continuously came out empty-handed. As the paramedics tended to the injured, and ambulances tore into the night with burn victims, we waited. Half an hour later, the bodies they returned with were those who were beyond saving. The ground was lined with casualties, far outnumbering those of us that had escaped. Travis's eyes didn't leave the door, waiting for them to pull his brother from the ashes. Travis? We turned at the same time to see Adam standing beside us. Travis stood up, pulling me along with him. I'm glad to see you guys made it out, Adam said, looking stunned and bewildered. Where's Trent? Travis didn't answer. Our eyes returned to the charred remains of Keaton Hall, the thick black smoke still billowing from the windows. I buried my face into Travis's chest, shutting my eyes tight, hoping at any moment I would wake up. I have to call my dad, Travis said, his eyebrows pulling together as he opened his cell phone. I took a breath, hoping my voice would sound stronger than I felt. Maybe you should wait, Travis. We don't know anything yet. His eyes didn't leave the number pad, and his lip quivered. This ain't fucking right. He should have never been there. It was an accident, Travis. You couldn't have known something like this was going to happen, I said, touching his cheek. His face compressed, his eyes shutting tight. He took in a deep breath and began to dial his father's number. Chapter 22, Jet Plane. The numbers on the screen were replaced with a name as the phone began to ring, and Travis's eyes widened when he read the display. Trent? A surprised laugh escaped his lips, and a smile broke out on his face as he looked at me. It's Trent! I gasped and squeezed his arm as he spoke. Where are you? What do you mean you're at Morgan? I'll be there in a second. Don't you fucking move! I surged forward, my feet struggling to keep up with Travis as he sprinted across the campus, dragging me behind him. When we reached Morgan, my lungs were screaming for air. Trent ran down the steps, crashing into both of us. Jesus H. Christ, brother, I thought you were toast, Trent said, squeezing us so tightly I couldn't breathe. You asshole! Travis screamed, shoving his brother away. I thought you were fucking dead! I've been waiting for the firefighters to carry your charred body from Keaton! Travis frowned at Trent for a moment, and then pulled him into a hug. His arm shot out, fumbling around until he felt my shirt, and then pulled me into a hug as well. After several moments, Travis released Trent, keeping me close beside him. Trent looked at me with an apologetic frown. I'm sorry, Abby. I panicked. I shook my head. I'm just glad you're okay. Me? I would have been better off dead if Travis had seen me come out of that building without you. I tried to find you after you ran off, but then I got lost and had to find another way. I walked along the building looking for that window, but I ran into some cops and they made me leave. I've been flipping the fuck out over here, he said, running his hand over his short hair. Travis wiped my cheeks with his thumbs and then pulled up his shirt, using it to wipe the soot from his face. Let's get out of here. The cops are going to be crawling all over the place soon. After hugging his brother once more, we walked to America's Honda. Travis watched me buckle my seatbelt and then frowned when I coughed. Maybe I should take you to the hospital, get you checked out. I'm fine, I said, interlacing my fingers in his. I looked down, seeing a deep cut across his knuckles. Is that from the fight or the window? The window, he answered, frowning at my bloodied nails. You saved my life, you know. His eyebrows pulled together. I wasn't leaving without you. I knew you'd come, I said, squeezing his fingers between mine. We held hands until we arrived at the apartment. I couldn't tell whose blood was whose as I washed the crimson and ash from my skin in the shower. Falling into Travis's bed, I could still smell the stench of smoke and smoldering skin. Here, he said, handing me a short glass filled with amber liquid. It'll help you relax. I'm not tired. He held out the glass again. His eyes were exhausted, bloodshot and heavy. Just try to get some rest, Pidge.
I'm almost afraid to close my eyes, I said, taking the glass and gulping the liquid down.